Tommel Mjold Engekyo. Let's move that mic a little bit. There we go. Is that good? All right. Sorry. Thank you for being here. Namul Mjold Engekyo. Thank you for your practice. It's another cold day here in Northeast Mississippi. Reminds me of Quebec. It's not that cold, but it reminds me of it. Today we're going to complete the Go Show on the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra. Please remember to like and subscribe these videos. It helps promote the Sangha, which is what we're all about, right? That and, of course, keeping our practice strong. They go hand in hand, right? I appreciate your support. Thank you for the new members or new subscribers, I should say. I don't like using the word members, but it's pretty ubiquitous everywhere. Some of you are starting to note on the comments, you know, where you're from in the world and where you're practicing. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you for new supporters. Your donations are amazingly welcomed. Everything helps to keep the wheels greased, as they say. For those of you who continue to subscribe and like the videos, you're helping grow the Sangha. So that's Bodhisattva effort. Much admiration and appreciation for that. All right, let's get on with Nichiren's discussion of the Daimoku, shall we? The last video was preoccupied mostly with the place of women in Buddhism, which a lot of people don't know about. You know, a lot has been made in the last century with women's position in society. Rights, the struggle goes on all over the world, right? Discussions on everything related to women's bodies and women's ability to participate or to be validated, in fact, in society. The man-woman thing, it's been going on since time immemorial, of course. But many would be surprised, maybe even shocked, to find that, especially with we have in the world today, orders of so-called Buddhist monasteries and so forth, that still seem to promote this male-centric practice. And nothing could be further from the truth of Shakyamuni's almost 3,000-year-old teachings. All of us, men, women, it doesn't matter what sex you are. It only matters that you have a sentient mind. Yes, there are operational differences in our samsaric reality. There's a whole spectrum of behavior, but it's not, as we continue to find out, it's not as clear cut as women are this and men are that. It just isn't. Not when it comes to the mind, how we think, how we interact, how we negotiate relationships with ourselves primarily, and then with others. Buddhism has always recognized this. And women or men, whatever you are, wherever in the spectrum you are, let's get away from the language of exclusion and start to understand that we're all sentient minds. We're all equal in Buddhism and our ability to awaken our Buddha nature, period. So obviously, Nichiren is talking to people of the medieval ages in Japan. Culturally very different than the medieval times in Europe, but still, nonetheless, a lot of similarities, yeah? And this letter was written in 1266, so this is before the Sado persecution and the persecutions and the exile to Sado Island, but after his first banishment to the Yeosu Peninsula, right? This cold weather has the old Sifu here is dealing with his body. Anyway, so this letter was written to a woman, and Nichiren is going through great lengths to demonstrate exactly what I'm talking about, that you needn't feel like, I know the culture is saying your place in society is this, but in Buddhism, none of that has any sway. So don't be stupid and ignore to, you know, because you don't want to bring harm onto yourself standing out. But in Buddhism, you don't need to feel those oppressions. They just don't exist. So he goes on. 3,000 ri to the east of China, there is a country called Japan. Some 200 years after the great teacher Tendai passed away, he was reborn in this country and bore the name of great teacher Dengyo. Now, I'm not a Japanese or language expert in general, but what I do know from over 40 years of study here, the cultural biases and the individual biases of the authors of these translations, whether they're conscious of it or not, take a lot of liberty in the way that they transpose, right? And I will bet you, and I'm not a gambling man, that whenever we see references, and I've talked about this before, to lifetimes, right? Like this, the great teacher Tendai passed away and he was reborn in this country and bore the name of the great teacher Dengyo. This is not a reference to reincarnation. I know it sounds that way and it's convenient translation language, but I abhor it because it's super misleading. What we're always talking about in Buddhism, and I'm sure Nichiren, because of as much as we've read of Nichiren, that what he's saying is that the great efforts that the great teacher Chiche Tendai made, the great strides in understanding, in recalibrating the scholarship of the entire corpus of Buddhism. This was an amazing man, an amazing monk, okay? Without putting the label man. I mean, I don't want to get touchy about that, but, right? This mind, Tendai, a very great man, mind in the lineage of the minds that have kept the correct and pure teachings of Shakyamuni alive throughout the thousands of years, yes? His efforts, laudable as they are, through time, that mantle, that level of commitment and scholarship and truth can be emulated, just as you and I are emulating Nichiren. And Nichiren asks this of us, do as I do, right? And so Nichiren is basically calling out the great teacher Dengyo in Japan, identifying a different country. Tendai was in China. In Japan, we've had our own Tendai. We've had our own great scholar straightening out the fodder from the truth of the insights of the Tendai Lotus Sutra school. That's what he's saying. He's not saying a reincarnation of. He's saying we've had this great teacher who embodied all of the things of a great teacher we know from China here in Japan. That's what he means as reborn. That makes sense, right? That. So I hate seeing words like that because the West has so much charisma attached to old Hindu thoughts and mystical, magical thinking. There's none of that in Buddhism. But it shows up in the translations because people. All right. He then wrote a work entitled The Outstanding Principles of the Lotus Sutra, in which he stated, this is Dengyo now, quote, neither teacher nor disciple need undergo countless kalpas of austere practices in order to attain Buddhahood. Now there's a reference to that very fallacy of multiple lifetimes. It's multiple births because every moment is a birth and an ending. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. That's how we go through time. That's how we create time, right? Ugh, I need coffee. Not only because I need coffee, but because it's cold. Fortunately, the coffee is not. It is hot. Reasonably warm anyway. All right. So Dengyo says, you don't need to go through this rebirth thing, this reincarnation thing. That's all malarkey anyway. That's not Buddhism. Life is here and now. The sentient mind exists in this life. When we pass away, the mind's gone. There's no Buddhahood. There's no thinking about Buddhahood. There's no samsara. It's done. So this is it. Get it right now. Through the power of the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law, they can do so in their present form, end quote. Buddhahood is to be experienced, and that experience is now while you can experience. Where else would it be? Thus he made clear why the Dragon King's daughter was able to become a Buddha. Right, it looks mixed, or it can seem mystical as you're reading the Lotus Sutra that the Dragon King's, a Dragon King's daughter. Come on, we know these are stories to make a point, to send a message. These stories were written thousands of years ago. So understand who they're being delivered to, yeah? But again, this letter is to a woman, so he's saying, you know, it's not like this woman. There are even, I think it's in H. Kern's translation from the late 1800s, talk about cultural bias. And the translation says that the Dragon King's daughter, immediately upon taking resolve in the teachings of the Lotus, in Shakyamuni's teachings of immediate enlightenment, briefly transmorphed into a man and then immediately achieved enlightenment, became a Buddha. Right? It actually goes through that step. That this is the only way a woman can become enlightened, by briefly turning into a man so that you could access enlightenment. Please, this is a device. This is a plea, a teacher trying to talk to people who have been so mystified by life, right? Shakyamuni is talking to people who believe in elephant gods and, I mean, craziness. But he wants to reach these people. He wants them to understand that just because she has different genitalia doesn't mean she's obstructed from enlightenment. A mind doesn't have genitalia. A mind is a mind, period. Oh, well, yeah, but I'm a man. She's not. Right? That's who he's talking to. So he's like trying to gently persuade them. Okay, so she, because of her commitment to the Lotus Sutra and enlightenment, she turns into a man for a moment. Okay, can we do that? All right. I mean, how is that more easily accepted? It's amazing the lengths that Shakyamuni had to go through to raise people's minds, capacities, consciousnesses, so that they finally could accept enlightenment. Man, are we stubborn, human beings. Holy crap. But look, understand, that's why these stories are the way that they are. Because they have to entertain in order to bring into an openness to go, oh, now I get it. Yeah, let's get your samsaric monkey mind out of the way. And you understand what I mean by monkey mind, please don't get caught up in the whole evolution thing. That's not what we're talking about with monkey mind. We're talking about the chattering monkeys that are telling us what we know all the time, getting in the way. Shut up. Right? So this is what Dengyo was saying, just as Ten died before him, and so on and so forth, all the way back to Shakyamuni. And Nichiren is pointing it out to this lady that he's writing this letter to. It's not magical that the Dragon King's daughter in the Lotus Sutra attains Buddhahood. It's simply available. Stop putting your own obstacles in the way. Well, I can't get there because I'm a woman. Stop it! We've been dealing with that with thousands of years. Stop doing that. Yeah, but he says, who cares what he says? All we care about is what Shakyamuni has told us, what the scholarship of Buddhism tells us. All that other stuff is politic, propaganda. Don't listen to that. You're making your own obstacles. Right? Let's go on. It may seem somewhat difficult for women of the age we live in to attain Buddhahood in their present form. Well, isn't that what I've been talking about this whole time? Nichiren, very compassionate guy, considering his environments, yeah. But if women put their trust in the Lotus Sutra, just invest in the teaching, there's no doubt that they will instantaneously attain the pure land of perfect bliss. It's already there. You just need to get out of the way. Right? The samsaric mind needs to get out of the way. They will reach it more readily than the rivers and streams flowing into the great ocean, or more swiftly than the rain falling from the sky. Immediately. Namo Myo Renge Kyo. Boom. Be convinced of that. Your lack of conviction is the only thing holding you back. So just commit, right? This is constantly the message from Nichiren, as it was from Shakyamuni, but Nichiren really makes it explicit. And yet we find that the women throughout Japan do not chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Instead, they put their resolve in works such as the two-volume sutra or the meditation sutra, which can never lead women to the pure land or to Buddhahood. Because it's in the teaching themselves that they're excluded, because the teachings were delivered to men. But they were always meant for men and women. It just wasn't made explicit in all of the teachings. They intone the name of Buddha Amida 60,000 or 100,000 times a day. Amida Buddha, that Nembutsu, right? Because it's easier to wish upon a star than it is to instantiate. That takes balls. Pun intended. Amida is indeed the name of a Buddha, and to invoke it would seem to be a laudable practice. But because the women who do so are relying upon sutras that can never lead women to Buddhahood or to rebirth in the Pure Land, we've already discussed rebirth, right? Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, the next birth, you can be enlightened. Birth, death, birth, rebirth, death, rebirth, death, moment to moment, right? 3,000 realms in every single thought moment. They are in effect merely counting other people's riches. What are you doing? This comes about solely because they are led astray by bad teachers. All the women of Japan face an enemy more fearful than tigers or wolves, mountain bandits or pirates at sea, their parents' foes or their husbands' concubines. Their real enemies are those who, instead of teaching them the Lotus Sutra, teach them the Nembutsu, them being women. It's like a consolation prize. Only after chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo 60,000, 100,000, or even 10 trillion times a day may women who put their resolve in the Lotus Sutra, if they still have some time to spare, now and then murmur to themselves the name of Amida or one of the other Buddhas, because he knows it's not just women, men will do this, but women, they just don't want to let go. Okay, I'll do the Lotus Sutra, but Amida Buddha. Amida. But women these days spend their whole lives constantly reciting the name of Amida and busying themselves with matters concerning the Nembutsu. No doubt serving their men. They never recite the Lotus Sutra or give alms for its sake. True, there are a few who have the Lotus Sutra read by those who uphold its teachings, like an entertainment. But they look up to the Nembutsu priests or monks as though they were their parents or brothers, and treat the upholders of the Lotus Sutra with less respect than they would their retainers or followers. And yet they claim that they are believers in the Lotus Sutra. They're just playing, right? By contrast, Lady Pure Virtue gave permission for her sons, the two princes, to enter the Buddhist order and encourage them to propagate the Lotus Sutra. Remember, that's direct from a sutra we've read before. One of the many expedient means, the stories. Moreover, the Dragon King's daughter took a vow, saying, quote, I unfold the doctrines of the great vehicle to rescue living beings from suffering, end quote. That's determination, yeah? These women surely took no vow to practice only the teachings of the other sutras and to neglect the practice of the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. Nevertheless, that is what the women of today do, paying all their attention to the practice of other sutras and none to that of the Lotus Sutra. You must reform your thinking immediately. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Nichiren. Could he be any clearer? When I read this, I don't think of Nichiren talking to women. I think of him talking to me. And he's telling me, Sylvain, you must reform your thinking immediately. Next sentence. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Gosh, Nichiren, okay, I get it. Invoke Buddhahood now. Just do it. That's what he's saying. Stop messing about. there's a little bit of background here. This letter was written in the first month of 1266 for a woman of advanced years. So he's not dealing with a little girl here. He's dealing with an older woman who's been raised in that culture, right, of authoritarian, dictatorial men. And he's saying to her, drop the facade. Drop the cultural elitism. Forget all that crap. If you're going to practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism, do it. I don't care if you have to hide yourself in a back room. Do it. Do it not only to do it, to practice it, to chant it. Own it. You have to change your thinking immediately. Not your game, not your playing at, not your appearance. Right? Change your thinking. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Make your attitude support the intent that you are single-mindedly going to invoke Buddha. Now, Buddhahood, Buddha-ness. Open, fling open that Gohonzon door in your mind and be in Buddha. Do it now. Why wait? This is Nichiren. How many times have I needed that kick in the butt? It's, you know, these days with all of the distractions of samsara, sometimes a kick in the butt is the only thing we actually are conscious of. We're so busy bouncing from distraction to distraction, it's hard to find where we are in there. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. What an amazing Gosho. Next, because this book is a collection of Nichiren's writings on the Daimoku, I put this together because over close to 50 years, certainly the last 40 or more, I constantly hear the question, and early on in my own mind, what the hell do these words mean? Why are we chanting these noises? What's the point? Well, first of all, I had to let go of the fact that they're not words. These characters are, you know, they're pictograms. They stand for tremendous amount of understanding, meaning, knowledge, Buddha knowledge, not collection knowledge, not database knowledge, not warehouse knowledge. Experiential knowledge. That's Buddhism. That's the scholarship of Buddhism. So the next one, titled On the Meaning of the Five Characters Myoho Renge and Kyo, taken from a letter to Jijobo. And I love that Gosho. So that's the next treat. Everything in this book is about the Daimoku. So for yourselves, for your own doubts and mine, I've collected these. There are others, but these are meaty. And because I'm also sensitive to the fact that we want to do bodhisattva work. You're doing bodhisattva work right now by participating in this worldwide sangha, discussing correct practice. Nichiren's doctrine of Shakyamuni's Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah? Thank you. That's tremendous. Great praise. But bodhisattva work is more than simply our practice. It begins with our practice. That's what fortifies us, gives us stamina that we can then re-enter the stream of samsara with this life condition, life force, life influence. Yeah. And then the first person that comes up to us go, man, I've heard you're a Buddhist, or can you tell me more about it? What is Buddhism? And suddenly your whole Jenga personality is blah, blah, blah. Oh no, I don't know if I can do that right. Or more dangerously,
oh sure, I can tell you all about it. Come with me.
Yeah, that doesn't work either. What's the first thing to do? Come on over. Chant with me for a few minutes and then we'll talk about it. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me know when you're ready. Don't push it. They're pushing it. They're coming to you. Let them keep coming. It's kind of like fishing, right? You got to let the fish decide, right? How silly would it be for you to be standing in the water going, here, little fishy, fishy. That, Buddhism's far more amazing than that, right? Respect your enlightenment. Treat it with honor. Oh, you're interested. Terrific. Come on over and dip your toes in the water. And then when your mind is open, I know your mind will be open when you chant, but you don't know that yet. So you come over, you chant with me. Then that Gohansen will, that door will start to open. And then when we talk, it'll be meaningful. Whatever words come out of my mouth, they'll suit your understanding. And your mind will go, I don't know what he's talking about, but it makes sense. Until we chant together, you have no idea. What am I doing? I'm talking to a wall, right? Come on over, chant, just 5 minutes. And then we'll talk, not for too long, but, right? So how do you get that confidence? How do you do it? It starts with your own practice, doesn't it? And you carry that with you. And letters like these from Nichiren, they're very, very useful to give us confidence, some rhetoric, something to rely upon, to back us up. But nothing beats your experience, my friends. And you're doing it, so thank you. Namo myo renge kyo. No pressure. Truly, the only pressure that's on you is to awaken your mind. That's all yours. Nobody can do that for you, nor can you do it for anyone else. This is a self-realizing, self-manifesting method of enlightenment, right? The only qualification is you. That's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Super powerful and a little intimidating. But that's okay. Everybody gets it in the end. I'm not even going to go there. Namo myo renge kyo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this sangha. Thank you for your support. Like, subscribe. Patrons through Patreon. A note on Patreon. Years ago, I decided to take all those tiers and promotions on Patreon about, donate $1, donate $3, $5 a month, blah, 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 blah. Because I saw it as kind of a deterrent. And I made all the videos on Patreon free. So you didn't have to pay a fee to watch a video. Come on, Buddhism shouldn't cost you. And I felt good about that. But then I've gotten, especially recently, people want to support the Sangha and they go to Patreon and it seems to be confounding how do I do, a recurring donation for this much money or that much money? Patreon's not easy to navigate, and they keep changing. So, you know what? I went ahead and republished a bunch of the old tiers. Tiers, T-I-E-R, not tiers. Anyway, just so there be buttons to push. Make it easy. But I want you to know that the videos that are on Patreon are all the videos, same videos, they're linked to this channel. Now, sometimes I might post some texts on Patreon that aren't on YouTube because YouTube doesn't have that facility. Those texts you'll certainly find on threefoldlows.com. But I just want you to know that even though now there'll be tiers showing up on $3, $5, $10, $20, whatever, it's not required. It's just I'm trying to make it easier. And actually, when you go into Patreon and you go to, I believe, even if it comes up with $1, what's not obvious, and Patreon hasn't done a good job of this, is that you can click on that number and enter any number you want. But because that's not obvious, I've went ahead and put the tiers back up just to try to make it a little easier. So understand that there's a change on Patreon, but that doesn't mean that you now have to pay. All the videos are there. It's just a portal so that if you can and would like to contribute to the cost of this resource for the website, for the channel, for the podcast, right, centrally, you can do it through Patreon. And if it at the end of the day, if Patreon just seems like too messy or confounding, just go direct to PayPal. That's where it goes anyway. It's at paypal.me/SifuSylvain. And you can do a recurring donation there or a one-time, whatever you're comfortable or able to do. I just want to encourage you that if you feel the need or the desire or the will to support this channel in that way, or this channel, this endeavor, this resource in that way, I don't want anything to keep you from doing it, because that's a very bodhisattva act that I honor and cherish and we all appreciate. So I want to make it easy for you to do it when you think you want to do it. Because you know how it is, life today. You want to do it in your heart and then a million things happen and then, you know, another month goes by and you go, oh, I need to do that. Well, so I'm just trying to make it easy, right? You can always quit life changes, right? I lost my job. My car is totaled. Maybe you can't for a little while. So that's okay. Chant for more fortune, right? Not chant for things. Just chant for your life to support your practice. And by extension, right, the influence of your practice into the world. That's what it's always about. All right, so that's a piece of news, I suppose, information. And in the meantime, take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. Keep your practice strong. That's the center of everything. And I will see you in the next one. All right? Bye for now. Mule.